Today is June 1st, 2005. I'm Jeff Charnley, along with Dr. Elizabeth Spence, interviewing Helen Spence for the MSU Oral History Project for the sesquicentennial in this year, 2005. We're in East Lansing, Michigan this morning at Helen's home. And Elizabeth is Helen's daughter and a colleague of mine in the Department of Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures. Mrs. Spence, you see that we have a tape recorder here today. Do you give us permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to start with a few questions about your personal background and early education. Where were you born and raised?
In Hubbardston, Michigan.
Okay. Which is in which county?
Ionia County.
Okay. And what were your parents' names?
Harry Holbrook and Theo Holbrook. Theodora Viola Holbrook.
Okay. So your maiden name was Holbrook?
Yes.
And what are some of your earliest recollections? Did you live in the country or in the village?
We lived in the village. And the first house we lived in, we did not have electricity or running water or a basement. It was heated by a coal stove and a wood stove, I guess, in the kitchen, although we lived there when I was about five.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we moved to a different house in Hubbardston, but it had electricity and it had running water. It had its own water system.
Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one sister, one younger sister.
Mm-hmm. And what was her name?
Harriet.
Harriet. Mm-hmm. Are there any other things about your... What did your parents do?
Well, when I was born, I believe my father was working in the grist mill. In fact, I believe he owned the mill. He'd come there from Ionia, where he'd met and married my mother and was county clerk. But then he moved to Hubbardston with a mill. And I was born in 1915. And in those early years, during the World War I, I believe the mill really prospered. So as soon as he could, he sold the mill and bought, with a partner, a private bank.
Okay. Was the grist mill water-powered?
Yes, it was water-powered.
Mm-hmm.
There was a dam there in Hubbardston, and I believe at the time he was owned the mill, they added a little to the height of this dam.
I see. Is that Prairie Creek that is dammed there, or...?
It was Fish Creek.
Fish Creek, okay. All right. I fished on that as a boy, so... there was one bank in Hubbardston?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Until the bank failures.
Yeah, of the 1920s?
Uh-huh. Oh, no. The banks failed here in the early 30s.
Mm. Okay.
Late 20s, I think the stock market collapsed, but it wasn't immediately followed by the bank holiday when many of them never reopened.
I see. Mm-hmm.
That came a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother work outside the home?
No.
Okay. So 1915, you were born during or just before the U.S. went into the war.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to country school, or did Hubbardston have a school?
Oh, Hubbardston had a school then. In fact, Hubbardston had up through the high school, and there was also a Catholic school.
Okay.
Up through the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And a few Catholics that the nuns didn't get along with came to the public school.
Public school, I see. Now, were those, many of them, German, that settled around Pomona, Westphalia, or...?
The ones that settled near Hubbardston were mostly Irish.
Irish, okay.
The Catholics.
Uh-huh, okay. What do you remember of your early school years?
Well, I had a friend that I started school with. There wasn't kindergarten, so it was first grade. And I started when I was just 5. And she lived in the country, but we're still friends. She's still alive, too. But she doesn't live nearby.
What was her name? Or what is her name?
Her name now is Dorothy Yates. It was Dorothy Langdon. There were Langdons around there. And she had a sister about a year and a half younger. They lived outside of the village, about 2 miles. But their parents didn't want them to go to the local country school. So they walked in to Hubbardston to go to the Hubbardston school in all but the very worst weather.
Wow, that's interesting. Where does she live now, Dorothy?
She lives in Midland.
In Midland, okay. That's interesting.
And I don't know if the younger sister is still alive or not, but she was living in Florida.
I see. Mm-hmm. What do you remember of your education? Were there any? Did your parents encourage you to excel in education or?
Well, they never said anything about it, but they expected me to.
My father, her father, had a very interesting way of entertaining her. He would ask her math problems.
Go ahead. We'll talk a little bit about that. How that first happened.
I don't remember too much about that. But yes, he was... my father had never finished high school. My mother had finished high school and had had a year of business school. My mother had grown up in Ionia. So she was better educated than my father, but my father tried to make up for it by reading and learning what he could.
So he needed figuring and numbers for accounting, for bank work, I take it?
Well, no, I think he just liked it.
Oh, okay. Right.
And to distract
I always liked it too.
tell how he would whisper the story problems in your ear. I thought that was interesting.
I don't remember too much about it.
So you learned your math very early then?
I guess so. It was the only thing I could do better than my friend Dorothy. She was much better in writing.
Okay. Do you remember any of your early teachers?
Oh, yes.
That had important influence?
In Hubbardston, the first 4 grades were in one room, and the second 4 grades were in another. And so they had one teacher for the first 4 grades. Her name was Patience McGinn. The second 4 grades, the last name was Gardner. I can't remember her first name. And I didn't like her as well as Miss McGinn. Since she was Mrs. Gardner. But I'm not quite sure why I didn't like her. They were both good teachers. And then high school, they had 2 rooms and 2 teachers. And the ones I remember best when I first started there, at least I remember the very best, was a Mr. Sycamore, who was, I think it was his first school. And he made everything interesting. Best teacher I ever had.
Really?
Anywhere.
What was his favorite subjects that he taught you? Do you remember them?
Well, he taught math. And what else did he teach? So I had him for algebra and geometry. And he also taught history. And I'd never much liked history, but he'd made it rather interesting. And he had us looking up old stuff we could find around there on the Civil War, for example.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was very unusual for a high school teacher in those days.
Yeah. Were there any Civil War veterans in the Hubbardston area that you were aware of?
I didn't know them, but there were still some alive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because on, I think it was Memorial Day, they had a parade, and there were three or four left when I was very young, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So he gave you a good base, encouraged you in math, it sounds like.
Well, he didn't encourage us. It was just interesting. Oh, and I remember he was interested in old English ballads, which he got, and he worked somehow or other in his classes. And then, oh, I remember the other teacher's name, Mary Newberry. And then the two of them got married.
Oh.
While they were both teaching there.
Uh-huh.
And she was a good enough teacher, but not as inspiring.
Yeah. Did he stay in the area, or did he move away that you were aware of?
Well, he moved on.
Mm-hmm.
My last year in high school, I went to high school in Ionia, and I lived with my grandmother and aunt. And that was so I wouldn't have to take an entrance exam to get into college.
Okay. What year did you graduate high school?
32.
Okay, in the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the worst yet.
Mm-hmm.
In 32. So I graduated, let's see. But when I graduated from high school, times were pretty bad, and so I couldn't go to college. So I went to a county normal school. I believe it was the last year they kept it open in Ionia because they no longer needed rural teachers. They had enough at the moment. And then when I was done with that, I taught in rural schools for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Was that in the Ionia district or?
It was in Ionia County.
A county, okay.
And the first school I taught in had over 20 children when I started, but tenant farmers moved in and ended up with either 44 or 45, and I couldn't handle them. So I lost that school. But I got another school, I think partly because of political influence on my father's part. And that only had 20 children or less. And I stayed there for 2 years.
Well, that must have been quite a task. Would you describe maybe a typical day?
I lived... The first year I taught there, and the year I taught in the first school, I lived in the country, in the school district. And you got up early in the morning, you went to school. In most of the school year, you had to build a fire in the jacketed coal stoves they had. And so you had to be there early enough to take the chill off before the children came. And the children all had to walk to school. I don't think any of the women in the rural area drove at that time. And some of them walked up to 2 miles into school. And they brought their lunches, so you had them through the lunch hour. The jacketed stove, they used to bring some dish that you could set on top of this in a pan of warm water. So by lunchtime, they had a warm meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they left at night, you had to clean up the schoolroom. And in the winter, you try to bank the fire so they might be coal to start it from in the morning.
Mm-hmm. You had
and then
to be,
you'd go home.
Uh-huh. You had to be janitor also.
Yeah, and the house I roomed in fact, for that school, And for the second school, I didn't have electricity or running water. Mm-hmm. And then the last year I taught in the rural school, it was only about 6 miles from Ionia, maybe seven. And my sister was going to school in Ionia her senior year. But she wouldn't live with my aunt because she didn't like the things my aunt wanted her to do. So we had a room together with cooking privileges, and I drove back and forth to school. And that was the year of the big snow in Michigan.
Oh.
So I had trouble getting back and forth.
Mm-hmm. You drove a car or you had a horse and buggy?
Oh, a car.
A car, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my father had a car before I was born. And by that time, he had bought another car. My mother was supposed to learn to drive it, but she wouldn't do it. She learned to drive, but she wouldn't drive outside of the village. She wouldn't go into Ionia. Sometimes she went into the outskirts and parked and walked down to see her mother. But that was the most she ever did. So when I was 14, my father brought home a driver's license and says, "You're going to learn to drive."
What kind of car was it? Do you remember that?
A Buick.
A
he
Buick?
Always had a Buick.
I see.
Excepting once, when after the height of the Depression, he couldn't afford a Buick, so he got something else. But he went right back to the Buick.
Mm-hmm. What do you recall about when the bank failed? The circumstances there?
Well, I was in school in Ionia. Now, I think I must have been in the County Normal at that time when the bank failed. And I remember the first thing that happened, the banks all closed suddenly, and the teachers were about to get their paychecks. But of course, the check wasn't any good. So I'm not quite sure how they did manage to get enough so they could pay their rent and buy some food.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose a lot of people in Hubbardston were very angry at my father, but they didn't take it out on me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Bankers had a tough road in the tough times.
Yes.
After you taught a couple years in country school, how was it that you came to Michigan State?
Well, I always wanted to go to college, and several things happened. I really liked the second country school, but I really wanted to get started in college. And I had been taking courses in the summer at anywhere I could pick up a few college credits, and I guess they offered a little for what I'd done in County Normal. And my father said, if you really want to go to college, I can help you a little bit. And he gave me a check for $500, which was a lot of money at that time. I'm not quite sure how he got the $500. And he said, "Make it last." So...
Do you remember what year that was?
I can think of it. I think it was 36.
36, yeah.
And in the meantime, I'd taken in summer school. Oh, the first time I came to Michigan State, my uncle Fred was living in East Lansing. He'd come there partly because he wanted to go back to school and get a Smith Hughes degree, and partly because his son, who was my age, was supposed to start college. My son, the son went for one term and then he quit to get married, and he got a job working, I think, for Oldsmobile. And the first day he worked, he told his mother, it was too hard. He was going to quit. And she said, you have a wife to support. You can't. So I stayed with him a couple of summers and went to the six-week summer school at Michigan State.
Okay.
And then...
You mentioned a degree. What was it that he was going to go for?
The Smith something.
I think they called it Smith Hughes.
Oh, okay.
It was in agriculture.
Okay.
And you got a little extra money if you taught this.
I see.
I don't remember for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Right. I wasn't familiar with that program.
No.
Okay.
I may have the name wrong. Uh-huh.
Did they live in East Lansing, or in close to Michigan State?
Well, he just moved to East Lansing.
Okay.
He had taught school before, and then he had gone to Canada and homesteaded.
Hmm.
And during the Depression years, he came back from Canada. He wasn't making a go of it there,
mm-hmm.
and went back to teaching. But while he had a teaching certificate, he partly just wanted to go back to school for a while,
uh-huh.
and get this further degree.
Was this your father's brother or your mother's?
My father.
Your father's brother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then you made the decision to come to Michigan State?
Well, I'd always wanted to come here. And so after, at the end of the first year of teaching in the country, he was living here and said I could live with him if I paid for the cost of my food. So I was saved a little money on my $40 a month I'd been earning, which was good pay for the country school then.
Mm-hmm.
And the I came down here for the summer school, the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. What was your first impressions of the campus? Do you remember
well,
that?
Well, I'd been here before to visit sometime. So I'd seen the campus before. I can't quite remember. I think something that I'd been down for a weekend at. And before I did that, the spring before I first came to Michigan State, I picked up a few college credits at Mount Pleasant. A group was driving up on Saturday from Hubbardston,
mm-hmm.
of country school teachers, and that we went up and we took a 3-hour class in the morning and another 3-hour class in the afternoon and got some college credit for it.
Uh-huh. All the way at Central Michigan.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What did you study when you were here at Michigan State? It was Michigan State College then, right?
I'm trying to think if it was still the Ag School or if it uh-huh. was already Michigan State College.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, we can check that.
Yeah.
And what area did you study?
Well, I was interested in studying math. And I'd first planned to study math and English. But I'd taken some physics classes in the summer, and I'd done quite well with it, and I became acquainted with the head of the department, Professor Chapman. I forget his first name. And he did not have a doctor's degree, so it was just Professor Chapman. And he said, if you come here on a regular basis, I'll see that you have some kind of work. So at that time, the government was giving some kind of financial aid, helping the college. And so I had about 12 hours a week of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found some other things I could do on the side.
Was that just working on the campus, or were you doing... Like a work study thing, or was it just
They didn't have work study yet. But I did different things. At first, he had me as an assistant to his secretary, because of course everything was done by hand. She couldn't even type very well, and she wanted duplicate made of all the students and what they were taking. So I used to fill out these cards for her. And then after I'd taken a couple more physics classes, for a while I was assisting in laboratories. And I think one term I finished enough for to graduate, and I still stayed on another term, I believe. And at that time, I was on like sort of graduate assistant basis, and I got another dime an hour for what I worked for. 35 cents instead of 25, something like that.
Per hour. And that way you were a lab assistant in the physics? You were a lab assistant in the physics department then? When you were a grad?
Well, I was. I don't know what they called it.
Okay.
Well, this was, part of it was before I graduated, you see. Because I didn't graduate at the end of the normal year. Somewhere about midway through, there were three terms then. And I was still here the winter term. And at that time, I was working for my room and most of my board. And then several things happened. I got a little too tired because I was working too many hours a week. The people I was working for, he was transferred to a different state, Georgia, I think, and they were moving, so I lost that place to stay. And there was an opening for a teacher in Portland in English and math. And I had just enough English so they could hire me. And then at the end of that term, they shifted things around. So in Portland, I was teaching math and physics and chemistry.
So you were doing this while you were going to school? Or was that right after?
Oh, no, this was when I finished.
Right after you finished, okay. What year did you graduate?
Well, I have to figure that out. I'm not quite sure.
You started in 36?
I picked up credits along the way.
Okay, right.
So from 36 to 37 to 38, and I think it was the very, very early 39 that I had enough, plus a few graduate credits.
Okay. Mm-hmm. While you were here, it sounds like you were pretty busy with all your work and study, but were there any social things you did on campus? Did they have any?
Yes. They had nice things, and we did all the free ones.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. What were some of those?
Well, it's pretty vague in my mind, but they had sort of a beginning of a program, like they bring here now, with music and things like that. I can't quite remember where they went for it. They'd have a concert once, but I can't remember where it was held. It was before the auditorium was built or anything like that.
Did they have a band show?
Not at that time. They built that about the time I finished here.
I see. Mm-hmm.
The first band show, I think, was built just after I left as a regular student. Mm-hmm. So you did that. It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. The People's Church, I remember, had a Sunday evening social hour where you also could get a light lunch. And I used to go over there sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And you did go
and
to...
And if you had a date, you'd go to a movie if he had enough money. Otherwise, you'd just go over and have a Coke together.
Was that the Michigan Theater or the State Theater? I know the State was still here when I was...
Well, there was this one downtown theater. Mm-hmm. I don't remember its name now. Actually, there were two. That, and was it the Gladmer?
Yeah, I think so. When I came in 1978, the buildings were still there, and they were still showing them, but I guess the ceiling was falling on people, so they tore them down.
Yeah.
Were there very many women students when you came in the 30s?
There were a lot of home ec students.
Okay.
Most of the women students were in something like home ec. Mm-hmm. There were almost none in physics. There were some in math, but not too many.
Mm-hmm. So in your math and physics classes, were you the only woman, or were there some others?
I'm trying to remember if there were any other women in the physics.